earlier this week, the legislature concluded its second hearing into the effect of COVID-19 on residential care facilities in New York, such as nursing homes. And while a report from the Cuomo administration argues the state has nothing to answer for when it comes to the thousands of deaths tied to the virus at nursing homes, lawmakers have had a lot of questions. So in light of these events, we're going to revisit our conversation with Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler, who first raised concerns about a policy that allowed nursing home staff who tested positive for the virus but didn't have symptoms to continue work, a policy the state reversed hours after Health Commissioner Howard Zucker was questioned about it. We spoke with Jack Wheeler in mid-July. So for starters, can you speak about your experience in the Southern Tier with the virus?
It's been very interesting, like all regions. I mean, it's something new that, you know, we train and we drill on different disasters, specifically in our area, flooding, but we never have anticipated, you know, a response like this. I think we've done, you know, extremely well for what we were faced, just like all counties across the region and all municipalities. We have been pretty severely hit for an upstate rural county. At one point back in April, outside of Erie County and Monroe County, we were the most impacted county north of downstate, including Albany County and Onondaga County, in terms of cases and deaths. Obviously, since then, the number of cases in the more urban counties have risen, so we're not on par, thankfully. But the largest impact for us in terms of cases and deaths have been related to nursing homes.
And with the benefit of hindsight, do you have any idea about what might have led to that influx in Steuben County as opposed to, like you say, other larger counties at the time of Erie and Monroe?
Yeah, I think a lot of it really came down to, just unfortunate luck in a lot of ways of where the virus was before, you know, things really got shut down and these more firm restrictions got put into place. I think it was just the unfortunate circumstances. But at the same time, I do believe, and from what we have seen, staff in nursing homes, and you know, it is not a fault of theirs because it was a new world. No one knew that we had to be on lockdown, you know, weeks in advance of when we actually were to really prevent the spread. But what we saw really was a population of the virus in the nursing home from staff bringing it in.
So yeah, sticking with that time period back in March and April, what made you reach out to the media in April to highlight the policy that enabled nursing home workers to keep working after a positive COVID-19 test, essentially as long as they were asymptomatic?
Yeah, I think a lot of it boiled down to frustration. We tried to work through the administrative channels through state government as best we could to respond to that. And we worked closely with the New York State Association of Counties, and they just couldn't believe what was happening on the ground in terms of that policy. So they put us in contact with, media sources in Albany and New York City, and we were able to spread the word and pretty quickly get that policy changed, thankfully. The rubber really hit the road from us for one of our facilities was heavily impacted. I have to give New York State Department of Health a ton of credit because as soon as we saw the first death in that facility and a number of cases, it actually was over a weekend where we had a first death and we had about 10 cases of staff and residents come in. We called New York State Department of Health, Western Region in Buffalo, and said, we need help. We need someone down here now. What should we do? And they said, we'll send a strike team to test everyone, staff, residents, everyone. And they were down a couple days later. And from that, we found 48 positive cases between staff and residents. And we're talking about a small facility, about 125 people tested, only about 60 residents at the time. So that was a significant portion of the people in that facility that turned positive. In discussions with the facility owner and with the state, we were made aware, first of all, we weren't involved in the first discussion with the facility owner in the state, which was a point of frustration. Not like, we have all the answers, but, in a lot of ways, our public health department in the county is sort of the face and the ears and the eyes locally. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were going to have to answer the questions. We found out pretty quickly that they were going to allow staff who were asymptomatic but positive continue to work only with positive residents. Now, my public health director, Darlene Smith, is brilliant and really pushed against that, and I did as well, saying, well, that's fine, and in a perfect world, you could probably control that, but and again, not blaming staff, but they're human beings. Everyone else in the population would be under a 14-day mandatory isolation. So it sends mixed messages saying, okay, you can go to work, but you can't stop at the store at home. Or what are they going to do while they're in facilities? When they take their breaks, are they going to be intermingling in different parts of the facility with other staff who are not positive? There's just no way to control it. So we pushed strongly against it. We then had two more facilities that were hotspots that we actually did the universal testing because New York State Department of Health would not. So we did the universal testing on our own, but in consultation with the New York State Department of Health, they were told again, you know, if you can't find other staffing resources, you can have the positive asymptomatic staff work. We thought it was bad policy, and that's what led us to calling the media.
Yeah, before making that call, I mean, what was the response from the state officials that you were interacting when you tried to voice this concern that this policy was a mistake? Did they just blow it off? Did they engage with you in any way, shape, or form?
They engaged a little bit, but I, in my opinion, they didn't explore the other options that should have been explored before that mechanism was triggered. Now, obviously, you have to care for the staff and residents, so you need staff to be able to provide that care for the residents. In a real dire circumstance, if there were no other resources available, okay, then in my opinion, that's when you look to, you know, some of the contingencies that may not be ideal, like a positive asymptomatic staff person working with PPE on. But My contention and what I kept, you know, hammering to the state is all options weren't looked at. I mean, we were being told daily through the governor's briefings that there were 40,000 healthcare professionals willing to be volunteers. You know, we said, okay, why don't you tap them? We were pushing to really have the nursing homes, you know, have to explore those options before having their positive asymptomatic staff working. And, you know, that sort of fell on deaf ears.
We're speaking with Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler. Governor Andrew Cuomo is known for having a tendency to hold a grudge when people speak out against him or, you know, sort of contradict him in any way. Were you concerned at all about going public?
No, not at all. I'm not an elected official. I'm an appointed official. I mean, I'm here to do my job. So is my public health director. And we're going to say and do what we feel is necessary to really get the issue across. Again, we're not bullies here either, but, you know, we certainly have heard that. But, you know, I've heard the governor a number of times, you know, laud different public servants for speaking truth to power. And again, you know, not to over dramatize what we did. You know, all we did was push and put on the record the facts that happened. And then the policy was changed. I mean, we were shocked that when Nick Riesman from Spectrum News right. up in Albany asked the question at the press conference, that evening the policy had changed. And Bernadette Hogan from the New York Post was another key person in pushing that. She was the first one that I talked to about this issue. You know, and it shows, like, you know, especially with what you folks are doing through your organization, you know, the press has a powerful voice. And unfortunately, you know, some of us, you know, we don't have a very loud voice in Albany, and that's fine. You know, most of the time that works. But, you know, when the press got involved, it was amazing to see what action was taken.
What do you think of the state report that came from the Department of Health, which blames the high rate of nursing home deaths on infections that were spread from staff and visitors and rejects the idea that the state's policy of sending infected hospital patients into nursing homes was a significant factor? Obviously, you know, you were concerned about that former issue enough to raise the alarm, but do you think this report captures the full picture?
Personal opinion, again, not being terribly educated in the medical field, although I've learned more about infectious disease than I ever thought I would. It's one piece of data. It's one report. You know, that certainly is a data point that can be used for the future. But I really think that, you know, I'm not calling for an independent investigation, but I think an independent party really needs to take a thorough look at what happens. I'm not surprised, as you mentioned, about a finding that staff was the root cause for a majority of the population of the virus. And again, it's not their fault. A lot of these spreads happened before any of the lockdown. We certainly saw that in our community because we started seeing cases in nursing home, you know, that third and last week of March, which means it was in there before the lockdowns went into effect. So it's not meant as a criticism of staff, but it certainly makes sense that you know, the residents aren't going out and about. It is the staff that, you know, are having the interactions out in public. We have not seen from every data point that we have here that nursing home transfers have been a large cause of the spread within nursing homes here. I can say that much, at least in our little neck of the woods. But, you know, I have heard and seen reports that down in the more populous counties, specifically downstate and in New York City, that the healthcare officials at those hospitals and nursing homes feel that that was one of the causes of populating the spread in their facilities. So obviously much more study needs to happen. And you know, again, in our small county, we're doing that now. We're doing mid-action reports. We can't do an after-action report because we're still in the middle. We're doing surveys. We're trying to figure out what we did right, what we did wrong, what we can improve, because we're all preparing, you know, for a second wave.
The legislature has suggested that they'd like to take a look at nursing homes with their own investigation and hearings. Would you encourage that? And would you want to speak before them as well to talk about your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and from what I've seen, it's been bipartisan calls from the legislature, which is a good thing. That means both sides of the aisle will work together to really take a thorough and independent review of what happened. And again, this is a situation that no one has ever dealt with. So none of what I'm saying, or, you know, most of what other people are saying, is not meant to cast blame in any way. It's we're learning as we go along. And, you know, certainly if called upon, you know, we want to share the experience that happened in Steuben County. We felt it so important. Again, we're not media seeking. We're not the people who go out and try to be in the press. What we try to do is, hey, we see a situation here in our little corner of New York that's concerning. And if that's a policy that is statewide, that's very concerning. We were sharing it with our counterparts, again, at the New York State Association of Counties and other counties that we're on the phone with daily. And they hadn't seen that yet, but they were very concerned that if they got cases in their nursing home, that the same policy would be applied. So, you know, I think common sense prevailed in that case, and it wasn't really due to us. We were just sort of the first one that experienced it and raised the alarm.
And after a quick break, we'll have more with Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler, including a discussion about his role on the state's quote-unquote control room and the challenge of enforcing face covering restrictions.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're continuing our conversation with Jack Wheeler, the Steuben County manager who, in April, helped reverse the state policy that resulted in asymptomatic nursing home staff staying on the job. Before the break, we were discussing how your nursing homes fare during the peak of the pandemic. So how are they doing now?
You know, thankfully, we're doing very well. We have seen a couple cases in the past few weeks from staff at nursing homes. And again, they're getting tested once a week. So you're going to catch more of the positive asymptomatic folks, but we're in much more of a stable situation. They're doing very well on personal protective equipment, which was, you know, in dire need back in March and April. We have seen supply chains open. So hopefully we can, you know, stay steady. But again, we're on the phone with the nursing homes and the hospitals on a weekly basis. You know, at the height of this, we were talking to them daily, multiple times a day, just to try to, you know, keep an operational awareness of what was happening there. But right now, they seem to be very stable in our county, and we're very thankful for that.
You serve on the Southern Tier's Regional Control Room, which is a body created by the governor as a kind of a go-between for the state on the reopening process. What has that experience been like for you? Does it feel like a meaningful use of your time, or do you feel like you would be better spent doing other things?
It's a good question, and it sort of depends upon the day. You know, I have to give the governor's staff a ton of credit. Kara Grippen, who's the director of regional affairs, and Basil Sagos, who's the DEC commissioner, he's kind of our captain for the control room. They've been phenomenal and very, very responsive. The frustration really comes with some of the last second decisions that come from the second floor, and the lack of notice, as, you know, made statewide news, certainly in our region and a few others. The change from phase one to phase two, the guidance was released kind of the day before, and that's when the governor sort of put a hold on it and said it might not start that Friday. Mm-hmm. That was a point of huge contention for us. And, you know, at least personally, what I've been calling for, you know, in my limited role on the control room is, let's get the guidance out proactively, give these businesses who have been shuttered for a number of months the opportunity to plan, and let's not change the game on them at the last second. We know, again, it's a novel virus. Things are going to change. Look at what's happening across the nation. More data and more information is being gathered, but we need to be proactive in our release of information. I'd say the state has gotten better with that, but we're still, you know, kind of in limbo on some things like fitness centers and movie theaters and bowling alleys, which, you know, in our little county, you know, we have a lot of each of those, and those businesses are hurting. Most of them are small business owners. It's not large corporations that hold that. So they're in financial peril. So proactive communication of the information, I think, is needed. I would say that the process has dramatically improved. You know, my blood pressure on a daily basis on those calls was quite high at the beginning, just because, you know, it was drips and drabs of information. But now I think, you know, the process is getting much better. So I would say that, you know, it's a good use of our time as, you know, municipal officers on that daily call.
So it's billed as a control room. Is that the right moniker? Do you feel like you have a lot of control in this process?
No, it's an interesting question, and my counterpart Ian Coyle from Livingston County said that was the biggest misnomer in the state, that the word control room. I mean, we really have no control, and that's fine. You know, we're all proponents of, you know, a semblance of local control. I certainly understand the need for a centralized response to this pandemic. So I have no personal issue with the state, you know, developing these guidelines for us. But we have the operational knowledge of what's happening, you know, in our communities that we can bring to bear. I think there are some areas, again, the big overarching policy decisions need to be made by the state, or else you're going to have chaos with people flocking to either the Southern Tier region or the Finger Lakes if they have more restrictive or less restrictive rules. So I think the big policies need to be set by the state, but there are a number of really nuanced kind of business questions. Like we're spending a lot of our time, like, you know, can this dance class start right now under the sports guidance? Or what about this arts class that's inside? You know, those sort of things. I think, you know, if the control rooms were given an opportunity to make a decision on really those more kind of minutia questions, which are very important to our businesses and our organizations, but those are the ones that we see, you know, take some time for Albany to sort of make a decision on. So if we had a little bit more control, I think that would be very useful. But, you know, the best that we can do is just advocate for the businesses that we're in contact with and the constituents and at least get their voices heard on that control room call.
Well, one area where local governments have been sort of delegated some power is sort of this ambiguous area of enforcement. And I'm curious what that's been like for you guys. Is it a headache? Are you finding yourself having to go out and talk to people? Is this something that's actively being done? How have you guys approached this?
It's very challenging. It's personally frustrating to hear, you know, the governor criticize local officials for not enforcing. I would tell you that until the mask policy was changed, there was no straightforward enforcement mechanism where if a business really pushed back against not requiring face coverings, we really had no recourse. This important change in state guidelines really helps us with enforcement, and it's something that we've been pushing for in our control room calls. So if a complaint comes through the New York on pause system or, you know, comes to us through social media or phone calls, emails, whatever, what we do is we don't have a full service health department with a bunch of health inspectors. We're limited. We actually have only 4 public health nurses, and obviously they're spending their time doing contact tracing and such. We send a sheriff's deputy out when there's a complaint just to have a conversation with the individuals or the businesses and see what's going on and just remind them of the executive orders and what the expectations are. Thankfully, we've seen pretty good compliance after that and, you know, haven't had to go back out and have a conversation. We have seen some of the larger businesses and, you know, I'm sure you've seen Walmart change their corporate policy that I think statewide that was the number one source of face covering complaints. And we have worked with them diligently to, you know, try to enforce that as best they can. can, because we do believe down certainly that face coverings help the spread and help us get back to a more normal place more quickly. So certainly is a challenge. What's particularly frustrating, and I think it's improving, but when some of the calls have gone to the state police, you know, they haven't wanted to enforce it and they push it back down to the locals. You know, that's where at least my personal frustration comes in with, you know, if the state agencies aren't going to enforce these requirements, then don't blame the locals. I mean, we can say that every single complaint that we get, we have someone that goes out and at least gets eyes on the situation and has a conversation. I can't say the same for state agencies, and that's frustrating to me.
What was it about the change in the state's guidelines last week that you feel make it easier for businesses to enforce mask restrictions?
So instead of saying that a business may require individuals to wear face coverings, unless obviously the caveat of, you know, medical exemptions or medical conditions under ADA, that now the businesses must require. So there's a more straight line connection to a violation of public health law. The other thing, and Walmart, we had a meeting with them last week here. We have a few Walmarts in our county, but one in particular was having a particularly rough time enforcing the face covering rules. And they've said that, you know, if someone is being belligerent and really just, you know, causing a scene and refusing, that they'd be willing to file trespassing charges. And that is codified in the new requirements that gives the store the ability that if someone is really pushing the envelope and being belligerent about it, that they can enforce it with a trespassing charge, which obviously gives us stronger footing. Now, again, no one's looking to, you know, have martial law here in the county or anything like that. Again, a sheriff's deputy would respond. They'd come out and they'd have a conversation with the individuals, and the individuals, you know, 9 times out of 10 are going to leave the building and it won't be a problem. But, you know, it does give more of a straight line enforcement mechanism than we previously had, because when it was you may require, well, then that's what the businesses leaned on is, you know, we can't put our associates in the position of policing this, and we don't have to because it says may require. So that change, I think, will help with the face covering issue at least.
We've been speaking with Steuben County Manager Jack Wheeler. Jack, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it, and stay safe and good luck.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being with you. Thank you so much.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.